Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, shredding the carrot of conversation, shredding the cabbage of the internet. Mixing it all up together in the mayonnaise of good times, you got yourself a pod slaw.
Oh, it's the best pod slaw in town. That's Ed Gamble. My name is James Acaster. We are the proprietors of a dream restaurant, and every single week we invite a guest in, and we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink, not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Nisha Katona! Nisha Katona, a wonderful chef, wonderful broadcaster, a fellow judge... On Great British Menu.
One of Ed's other friends from his other life.
Yes, one of my other buddies.
Feels weird.
She's absolutely brilliant.
I'm a bit jealous.
She runs the Mowgli restaurant chain, which we both love.
Yeah, love it.
So very excited to have Nisha in the studio today. Also, we have a lot of fun with Nisha on the show, and she's bonkers.
On Great British Menu?
Yes. She's a proper laugh.
Yes. So she's bonkers.
Yeah.
And we already know what you and Kerridge are like.
Yeah.
And Andy Oliver, to be fair.
Yeah.
This is everyone on Great British Menu.
This is the final piece of the puzzle. Apart from like all the brilliant crew and stuff and all the chefs who've been on.
Who should we have on from the crew?
We could have Big Chris.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've heard about Big Chris.
Big Chris the cameraman.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we'll have him on.
If enough people tweet Off Menu asking for Big Chris, if we get 1,000 tweets that are requesting Big Chris come on the pod, we'll invite him on.
Right.
1,000.
We're not doing that. Because we will.
We won't get 1,000.
We will, mate.
How many people listen to this every week?
We're not having Big Chris on the podcast. Nisha is a brilliant chef. She's a proper laugh. She also writes fantastic cookery books. Yes. She's got 30-Minute Mowgli. She's got Meat Free Mowgli. And she has a new book available called Bold.
Bold. Big flavour twists to classic dishes.
Yes. So looking forward to talking to her about that. But... hopefully she gets to talk about it and she doesn't say our secret ingredient.
Yeah, yeah, of course. If Nisha says a secret ingredient, an ingredient which we have deemed to be unacceptable, we will be forced to kick her out of the dream restaurant.
And the secret ingredient this week is... kangaroo meat.
Kangaroo meat.
Kangaroo milk. or
not the hair.
Not the hair, kangaroo hair, although I wouldn't like that either.
No.
Never had kangaroo, actually, James.
I've not had it. I don't think I would want it.
No.
And I know that as a meat eater, then that is probably quite hypocritical to just be like, oh, that seems bad to eat
kangaroo. But they just look sort of mythical, don't they? So
yeah, it feels a bit pointless to eat the kangaroo.
Yeah.
Probably pointless eating any of them.
You know what? If it was offered to me, I probably would try it. But that's the secret ingredient this week anyway.
Yeah, I'd be polite.
Yeah.
I'd eat it, but like, I wouldn't order it.
No. No, thank you. So let's hope she doesn't order that. So let's get on with it. This is the off-menu menu of Nisha Katona. Welcome, Nisha, to the Dream Restaurant.
I'm very glad to be here.
Welcome, Nisha Katona, to the Dream Restaurant. Been expecting you for some time.
How amazing to be here. Honestly, this is a massive deal because this is the podcast that all my kind of cool members of my family listen to.
Yes.
And the cool people in my
cool
social.
Ones?
Okay, in fairness, there's one cool member of my family. And I've got one cool person in my social group.
Yeah.
But they, it is like a cult thing, isn't it? I mean, they religiously listen to every word of it and then they repeat what you said back to me ad nauseum.
Yes.
They
so
do
it's
justice.
A big deal.
Do they make us sound funny?
They, do you know what they do? It's about the bants, isn't it?
Yes,
we say that, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, Googled that before.
Yeah.
But I did text you and say, expect no humour.
Yes.
This is what really worries me. It's a massive deal. So thank you very much for having me on.
Who are the cool people you know that like it?
Okay, there's two.
Shout them out.
Okay. Lucas Twigger.
Lucas Twigger.
Thomas Batley. Nay and Biz was. But when they approached me, they said, are you actually kidding? You need to pull out of this gig, basically.
Really?
Because you're so essentially dull.
You're a chef, restaurateur.
A judge on the best food show on television.
And they're going to tell you you're not suited to this food podcast.
But you have funny people on this. You have some epic guests. So honestly, I do. I'm quite humbled to be on. It's a really weird thing, you know, because I've only just started. In fairness, I've only just really started doing TV, so I'm not kind of famous in that way. So I'm still at that level where people see you in the street. And I don't know if you remember getting to that point where people see you in the street and they think they know you from their social life.
Yes.
So they go, oh my God, where have we met?
How do you deal with that?
So once I've learned a lesson, I was in a hospital, went to visit my uncle anyway, and a nurse came up and she said, are you a doctor here? I thought, bloody, I wish. My dog's crying, sorry. No, don't shout. Be quiet. Good girl. Just sit down. And she said, are you a doctor here? And I said, no. And I sort of knew that she kind of seen me on This Morning or whatever, GBM. She said, "Why is it? Are you a nurse?" I said, no. And she said, physiotherapist, what is it? And at that point, I thought, I'm going to sound like an arse here. And I said, I do a little bit of TV. And she said, no, it's definitely not that. Just that. And I've never, ever, ever repeated that again. So you just kind of play along and I just say, I've got one of those faces.
I had it at a wedding the other day. One of the other guests came up to me and went, I swear I know you from somewhere. And went, I'll be here all day. You got time to work it out. She didn't work it out.
Joe Lycett texted me the other day, letting me know that there was someone at Birmingham City Airport who was looking forward to coming to see me do a show in Kettering. And he knows that because they came and told him they were looking forward to seeing him do a gig in Kettering. and that their girlfriend's a big off menu fan.
Yeah.
And then came back later and said, sorry, she's going to kill me if I don't get a photo. Got a selfie. he told me they got a selfie together. And then he said, he's going to send that to his girlfriend and he'll be back in about 10 minutes to explain to me what's gone wrong. Did that, sent me a photo of the two of them with doing the thumbs up, it had gone wrong. I sent him back a photo of me doing a thumbs up and the guy had his photo taken with the photo of me with the thumbs up.
No, God, it just gets worse and worse.
Yeah.
I can't believe that still happens to you two. You know, at what point does, it's a strange thing. I'm like diminished before then.
Yeah?
You know, yeah.
What do you mean diminish?
Just in terms of the amount of TV that I do. So I do GBM, and I do This Morning. And, you know, but I'm running restaurants as well, so you've got to sort of pick your battles a
bit. Quite busy. Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. And so maybe I do less, I don't know. But what's great is just doing the bits that you like, you know, just doing TV and things that you like. I think you've got to start really, you know, being judicious about it.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. Goose is very curious about everything that's on the table.
Do you know, she
now I'm back on the floor.
Should we put her out, do you think?
It's pretty funny to have her in here,
okay,
actually.
Okay, good. Yeah, it is like having a primate in here. So she's got the chicken strippers out of my bag.
So she just went into your bag, pulled out a whole box of chicken strippers.
So I'm going to give her another chicken stripper.
Really? She just had one and it didn't really help. She still went back in your bag and I'd say it's made her worse than she was before when you gave her the chicken stripper.
The sad truth is it's helping her bowel mobility, Benita. So there'll come a point.
We're getting the dog full of chicken strippers to help her bowel mobility, and we're in a small closed studio. Well, it's going to be a first for off menu, but I can't wait for it to happen.
All of us choking on guffs.
So, do you ever have dogs in here before? Have you had
Toast, Benito's dog, has been in here,
but he can't sit still at all.
Really?
I mean, neither can Goose, to be fair.
Do you find it distracting?
No. Well, in it's a
not,
nice way.
Nice for a change, you know, to have a dog.
If you're not distracted, I'm not going to be distracted. Great. So this is amazing, just talking food.
Yes.
It's such a rare treat, isn't it?
Love it.
But are you talking food all the time?
Well, it's funny because, so I build restaurants is what I do. And the menu is mine. Yeah. And I think it's really important not to keep changing it. So there'll be the odd thing that changes or I tweak. And what I tend to do is put things, if there's a dish that isn't selling, it's dead interesting. I put it out on social media. So I built this on social media, and I know you think this is hilarious, but it will literally, my social media is all me. Uh-huh. Pictures of the dogs, pictures of the goats, pictures of whatever. Can you hear a whinging? Yeah. And so there was a dish, for instance, a cabbage dish that wasn't selling. And it's an amazing dish. The way the Indians cook cabbage is so clever. Anyway, so I put it out to social media. Uh-huh. Cabbage dish isn't selling. Can you tell me why? Is it because it's not nice? Or what is it that I'm doing wrong with this? And the audience came back and said English people would never pay to eat something with the word cabbage in a restaurant. So I changed the name to Tangled Greens and suddenly the sales went up.
Oh, wow.
It's so interesting, you know, just having that really instant relationship with your audience. Same with omelettes. So cutty wraps, you'll know what a cutty wrap is, where it's a chapati with an Indian omelette, masala omelette with onions and chili and nice. And it wasn't selling. And again, the feedback came back that keep it on, but just don't use the word omelette on your menu. So it's that kind of tweaking. So as a result...
So the Tangled Greens is actually cabbage?
It's cabbage, yeah.
Oh, I'm never fucking eating that again.
What the hell did you think it was?
Cabbage, absolutely disgusting.
For God's sake, do you think that cabbage does not photosynthesize?
Disgusting.
It's a green, my love. It's a bloody green. What?
Jeez. Can't believe you're serving cabbage in your restaurant. What a rip-off.
Do you know how... Oh, my God, it's so good, though. That's the thing.
No, it's really nice, yeah.
You don't have to pretend to like it.
I love it. We love your restaurants.
Yeah. If you ever take chart bombs off the menu, you are in trouble.
You're sweet
I'm
to gonna say
I'm going
to
be furious.
Really? You are very sweet to say that. I built it for the chat bombs.
Bombs away.
Because they're really pernicious little buggers. So when you make a chat bomb, it will retain its shape for 8 minutes and then it deliquesces. It just disintegrates. Yeah. So can you see building a commercial enterprise on the basis of something so exacting was a real challenge? And you can see why people don't really do them in restaurants. So in India, you get them on street corners and they're sold, you know, a rupee and you get one. So they hand you one of these bombs because it's going to dissolve soon.
Yeah.
So we have to do it, obviously. So we've got one dedicated chat chef. You come in, place your order, immediately that's made, immediately brought to your table so you can get them in and get the crunch.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, you know, starting in, you probably don't want to talk about restaurants, but starting an Indian restaurant and you realise,
that's quite high on our list of things to talk about.
But it's the food. So, you know, that curry house way of eating, which is fantastic. Mm. But those meat dishes that you can cook, like a big meat curry, and it keeps for a week. And in fact, on day three is when it's at its very best, because when anything's got garlic or onion in it, it gets better and better. But it's when you start introducing meat-free stuff, it's a lot more fragile. And so building restaurants on the basis of stuff that's freshly made every day, things like that cabbage dish, you can't keep it to the next day. It's got to be made and then served, and it's all of that. So it was a tricky one, you know, approaching how you do this. And you've got to be busy. That's the horrible irony, is you've got to be busy to make it work.
Had a meal in Rome once where they did like chat bombs, like similar things. And I was really excited to have, this is probably one of the worst meals I've ever had. It was a bad place.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Really friendly waiter though. And got the bombs and they were just full. They just filled them with, because you know, sometimes they pour liquid in them. Yeah. They don't really do it at Mowgli, do they? But they pour a little liquid in them. And it was just like mouthwash. And they poured that, and I wasn't expecting that taste, so put it in, but well, that's disgusting. And
was
I've got to eat a whole load of them. It was really bad. And then whatever I had for my main course, I can't remember what it was. It wasn't very nice, but I was so hungry that I just finished it. And the waiter came over and he went, and you shouldn't ever hear this at a restaurant. He came over and went, hey, you finished it. That's cool. Really bad.
It's really bad.
And then at the end I got a cocktail and it was the same mouthwash as the Gold Guppers. It was the same thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Gosh, they're Gold Guppers there. That's a whole different thing. So it wasn't that tamarind. You
didn't
different.
Get that. Gold Guppers and chat bombs are different things.
Yeah, so Gold Guppers have got the liquid in. They've got a tamarind liquid. They're dead cool. Mm-hmm. So they should be dead, i.e. they're a cool concept, aren't they? You've got this crisp outer shell and it is a tamarind mint sweet and sour kind of liquid that you pour in and pop it in. So I started Mowgli with, they're called pani, which means water, mm-hmm. puri, on the menu. And remember, and this is no indictment on anywhere in the country really, but I started Mowgli, 9 years ago in Liverpool, mm-hmm. when Liverpool was getting the dirty burger movement. So it was a real risk. And that was just a bridge too far. You know, something that goes into your mouth pops and it's liquid. It's a bit pustular, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, so you've got to read your audience. And so I pulled them. I might reinstate them, but I think we've just got a little bit of a way to go before there's your reaction is pretty typical. Okay. You were offended by the taste of the kind of Listerine interior, weren't you?
No. I've had them elsewhere. Delicious.
Yeah.
With the liquid in. Absolutely amazing. It was this particular place. Yeah. Trust me.
Really?
Trust me.
But you're saying that with the liquid, it's a bit pustular.
With the liquid, it's a bit pustular.
But you put like yogurt into yours,
do,
right?
But there's a little
That's more pustular to me. And I watched Dr. Pimple Popper.
It's very, very Dr. Pimple Popper, isn't it?
And I love that.
I think you're anchored by, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to not be making this food sound horrendous, but you're anchored by the chickpeas.
Yes.
I think by virtue of the fact that you've got a bit of rubble going on in there.
I've seen Dr. Pimple Popper videos where there's bits of rubble coming out as well.
Also, I think it's nice that you do a different spin on it. There's a different, I can think that that's where I'd go to get that particular thing, is Mowgli. I couldn't really go anywhere else to get something that's like the chat bombs that you have in Mowgli.
Yeah, we trademarked the word, when I started it, trademarked the word chat bombs. Because you're right, it's every person makes them differently. Every street corner's got a different permutation of ingredients that goes in it. Is that the only reason you go there? Is that the only dish you have?
Yeah, I don't know what else you do.
Oh, for God's sake, you're breaking my...
I say, I go with a full amount of chat bombs to myself and don't sit me on a fucking swing.
Do you not like the swings?
I was on the swings once and I lasted 2 minutes. I was like, sorry, man, I can't do the swing. I can't do this. And every time I go into a Mowgli and someone sat on the swing, I'm like, unlucky.
Really?
You're on the swing.
The swings are very popular.
Yeah.
They're not for, by the way, listeners, in every Mowgli has a swing.
There's only one or two that don't have swings.
Yeah, so swing seat. They're not for us, Nisha. The swings are for the Huns.
They're for the Huns.
You're getting the Huns in. They're sitting on the swing. They're putting it on Instagram. You know what you're doing.
Do you know what's dead interesting? Across the country, the swing seats sell out. So if you want to book, people want to book the swing seats across the country. The only city where people can complain about going on the swings is Glasgow. And we cannot work out why that is.
Really?
Really
legends.
Interesting. Because they're legends, aren't they? Yeah, you approve of that, don't you?
Not doing it for the gram.
I love it. Gotcha. For me, because the reason I put them in is because, so I design every single Mowgli, every brick of every Mowgli. And behind my grandmother's house in Varanasi, there's like a broken down temple. You know, it's all broken down brick. It's got vines. It's got monkeys. And we used to go down and sort of play amongst this and you're swinging off the vine. You know, it's very... Jungle Book, although this has got nothing to do with the Jungle Book because, of course, that came to us, didn't it? Yeah. And so that's what it's that feeling of swinging. It makes you feel, James, like a little girl.
Well, that's lovely.
I tell you, you don't want to feel like a little girl, perhaps.
I guess I didn't on that particular evening. I don't want to feel like a little girl, but you know, food was lovely.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
And
thank
you. I don't just get
the cheese on toast. I get that.
Yeah. I try something different every time.
You try something different every time. No, it's really good of you to even go there.
I was in Liverpool recently and I was there for a week and I went to Mowgli twice.
So I'm building outside of, you know, I've got one in Charlotte Street.
Yeah.
And so I'm at the juncture now where I think, okay, build a bit more of a sort of London empire? And for every one Mowgli I build in London, it means there are two outside of London you can't build because the rents here are extortionate, here being London. You know, recruitment's harder. So here in London, 90% of front of house staff or, you know, back of house and front of house hospitality staff were European. Then we had Brexit, didn't we? Whereas, you know, the rest of the country, we're only 17% European. So there's so many reasons why I can't keep building.
Forget London, though, man. It's great. I like, as a touring comic, I really liked the fact that, like, Mowgli was, like, around the country and I couldn't get it in London.
Yeah.
Because I'm on tour, I can look forward to, I want to get a Mowgli at this place when I want to go there. So, like, I ain't never going to that Charlotte Street one.
Don't be saying that.
No, I've been there. That's where they sat me on this fucking swing.
Is that right?
Niche has got a lot of restaurants and an increasing amount of restaurants. There's a running joke on Great British Menu where every time, like, we have a lunch break or something, go away for an hour, we go back into the judging chamber, Tom Kerridge will always go, what have you been up to, Niche? You're opening another three fucking restaurants.
He's a cheeky bastard. It's the same old trope every time. Yeah. So that's interesting, Jay, because you, I mean, obviously you watch Ed on, yes, on Great British Menu. Do. And so really? We're this new judging panel. Of course you do. Do you watch it?
Yeah, every now and again.
Yeah, he checks in.
Do you just check in every so often? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm bad at watching a full series, but like when I see, oh, it's on and I'm in.
Yeah,
I'll watch it.
It's because your best mate's on it. You know, would you not tune in for that?
Yeah, I'm very happy for it.
Yeah. But it was a funny one, wasn't it? When we started, because we're all, the three of us are so different. We couldn't be more different, could we?
Mm-hmm.
Could we, in terms of everything about us,
Ed's
age,
got stuff in
stage.
Common with Kerridge.
And the testosterone?
Yes. But
what else? Yeah.
I'm proper, but just, proper manly man.
They both love food. I think you've got similar relationships to food. But when we interviewed Kerridge, you had a lot in common.
Yeah, I think so.
That was before you did Great British Menu.
Was that before GBM, really?
Oh, it was years ago we had Kerridge on this.
Yeah.
Right. Let's talk about your new book, Niche.
Oh, very sweet of
you. You've got lots of books out, of course.
I've got books,
Meat Free Mowgli.
Yeah, Meat Free Mowgli. 30-Minute Mowgli.
30-Minute Mowgli. And now Bold.
Now, Bold is dead exciting because it's got a beautiful cover.
Mm-hmm.
And the colours of the cover match my bangles that I wear all the time. All the time. But more importantly, it's a bit, it's classy, James. I don't often do classy.
No?
Oh, God love no. It's classics. It's classics with a really interesting ingredient, which is pretty much the way I cook. So, that you know, kind of the crucible.
Yeah.
In which my culinary habits and skills have been formed. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you know, I was born in this country, raised by two Indian parents, obviously. And so when English food did get through our door, it was immediately adulterated. Uh-huh. So never, you know, do you remember Finder's crispy pancakes? You're too young for that,
Yeah.
So they'd come in, but my mother would flip them open, bit of garam masala inside, flip them back shut. Nice. There was never anything that wasn't in some way pimped.
Yeah.
This is not about this. Actually, I'm not doing Bold justice. Bold is... The recipes I'm really
there's one of the
about.
Recipes isn't Finder's crispy pancakes with garam masala.
Can I tell you how tempted I was to do that?
You should have done
that. That's totally authentic. You know, those lamb grill steaks that were made from the sweepings up from the abattoir floor.
Uh-huh.
You know, a little bit of masala paste on those would go under the grill. That kind of thing. Typical
Great.
Indian pimping. But this is not that. This is, gosh, things like, oh my gosh, pineapple and anchovy croquettes and things like just those combinations of flavors. And I think what happens is when you have been raised in such a subversive way when it comes to flavors and ingredients, your whole approach to food is boundless. Mm-hmm. So you just think in this really naive, open-minded way. So I'm constantly experimenting with, you know, things that stick, flavors that work together, a bit flavor thesaurus-y kind of in that way. And that's what Bold is it's being bold, you know, brave enough to... Just it's kind of that. Trust me on this, you know. Yeah. Add this to this. So that's Bold, but the Mowgli books are out there as well, and that's kind of the whole reason that I moved into food is there writ large in those books because I was never a foodie. You know, I was raised to be a barrister or a doctor. Mm-hmm. My brother's a doctor. You know, that's what happens. My parents are doctors. You've got to be a doctor, mm-hmm. otherwise nobody will marry you or whatever, or you'll have no. So if you're not a doctor, you will fall off the face of Britain. Is honestly what we think or what we thought. So I was a barrister for 20 years, a child protection barrister. But what I realised as I started to cook Indian food is it's dead exciting, is that all Indian food is predicated only on three spices. And two of those never change. It's this real Archimedes moment. So the two that never change are turmeric and chilli. So every curry has got turmeric and chilli in it. Tell me if you're going
to
doze off, just give me some warning.
Do
you want another Diet Coke?
It's good stuff. Don't you worry about it.
Okay. But depending on the genre of ingredient... that third spice changes. Yeah. So, for instance, with the cabbage, brassicas, you would use mustard seed, turmeric and chilli. With, say, root veg, you would use cumin, turmeric and chilli. So suddenly you realise that there are these very distinct rules that are time-tested and flawless that have been passed down. And so I became quite evangelical about teaching this. It's this three-spice formula. And that's how I started the books. And that's how I started as a barrister. I was teaching 10 years while I was still a barrister. And then this entrepreneurial thing bites where you think, okay, could I flog food that isn't, you know, the way that Indians actually eat at home, not kind of the curry house fare, but how we, when the curtains are drawn and you're getting out that geriatric cabbage from the back of the veg rack and what you do with it, and how virtuosic and light and fresh and all of that.
That's amazing. I didn't know you were a barrister and then did this complete pivot. That's pretty...
It's mad, yeah.
Did you recognise that's pretty impressive?
What's impressive is that I think I've lived this long and retained continence. That, I think, is impressive because I'm old. You know, that I think is impressive. Honestly, it's...
Do you want me to tell the story?
I find it very hard to keep continence when I'm with Ed and Tom.
We were in the reception of a hotel, and I can't remember what Nisha was laughing at. We probably didn't even know. She'd absolutely lost it laughing. And then she wet herself in the reception of a hotel.
Oh. That was such an inspiring story. Being a barrister and then realising the three spice rule and be able to completely change your entire life. And Ed's just responded with the fact you once pissed yourself in a hotel.
Do you know, James, do you know what it was? It was simply Ed saying, Nisha, where's your room? Sending me to my room because we've had a late night. It got to the point, and it still does at GBM, that he just, even if I'm in the same room as him, I find it very hard to control my incontinence. It's just the way he moves.
How many times has this happened?
Do you ever find him this far? I find him so funny, James.
How many times has this happened?
Honestly, I think I struggle with it a lot when I'm with it. But all he has to do, I remember he just walked into a room and pushed the door open in his kind of Ed gangly way. And I really lost continence again.
Pissed yourself again?
Yeah, a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Because he walked into a room.
Just because he walked into a room. That's a gift, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's like an Eric Morecambe thing. Surely that was what it was like being Ernie Wise.
You are the only person isn't who it? Reacts like that to me, Nisha.
Yeah, I think Ed's found the person he wants to write his obituary. All he had to do was walk into a room.
Really
real Eric Morecambe.
But it's so bad because every time we get a comedian on or anyone on as a guest, I do spend a lot of time saying, don't you think Ed's dead funny?
She tried to get me smashing? In the new series of Inside Number 9 when we had Steve Pemberton on.
I did.
You should put Ed in your show.
I did.
Steve, please don't listen to this one.
That should have been your response. When you said, what room are you in? You should have said Number 9.
You should.
That could have been the episode.
No, but obviously, I'm so sorry to interrupt the inspiring story of someone who's doing fantastic work as a barrister and then is now doing fantastic work within the world of food, but you did once piss yourself in the lobby of a hotel.
It wasn't a fully fledged, do you know what I mean? It wasn't a deluge.
Fully fledged
But I did need
piss.
The loo. I did have to then run to the loo.
Yeah. Obviously, it was enough that they knew it. They knew it had happened.
Yeah.
We've got, haven't we got good chemistry on that?
Yes.
I think we've got good chemistry on that programme, haven't
we? Yeah, we're a very good team together, I think.
But give me some tips. I've been trying to get some chemistry going with this fucking movie.
Wet yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't know. I'd piss my pants in front of him in order for him to get on board.
But it was weird because I'm sort of sitting there like this kind of dowager aunt between the two of you.
I don't know where you've got that from.
Just
what
am.
Are you
so
talking about?
I am talking about that. Honestly,
I cannot imagine that.
Honestly. Yeah. So first of all, I think it's really amazing that they chose me. That honestly, I was really honoured by that because this is, I tell you the thing about it is it's always been very Michelin-starred kind of food. It's very haute cuisine, very, very Western classical, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's what you think of.
Sure, yeah.
And the truth is that's not the way this nation eats anymore. Yeah, yeah. So it's pretty broad-minded of them to get someone in whose expertise is more world. You know, so I go around the world. I mean, literally around the world learning how to cook because I'm obsessed with it. Mm. So first of all, I was very appreciative of that. And then
it wasn't really kind of them to get you on because by the sound of things, you're overly qualified for the job.
I'm overly qualified for family law. It's a bit different.
They would say they're lucky to have you. Before you, there was like those two old dead guys.
They were amazing, and they are such nice guys, and they were amazing. And you look at that and you think, okay, that's what it is to be a true foodie, you know. But then the dynamics, and then didn't it take a little while for us to just work out how we intersected?
Yeah, you always say this. I thought we hit the ground running, personally.
We completely didn't, because basically I thought, first of all, I've just got to say whatever Tom says.
What, copy Tom?
Copy Tom, really.
Okay.
And then
making fun of your own restaurants.
Get Ed to like me more by, I just ask him about tattoos, as I did 10 minutes ago.
I did notice
tattoos,
you doing.
Tattoos, love.
And you say tattoos.
Yeah, that's
tattoos.
Lovely.
Anyone who says tattoos I know isn't really interested.
Yeah.
What are you meant to say?
No, I think everyone else in the world says tattoos.
Oh, a tattoos.
Not tattoos.
Have you any new tattoos, Ed?
Have
I would
you any
say.
New tattoos?
Yeah. Have you seen anything on the films recently?
Yeah.
Say, to get him to like me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure he likes you.
Yeah, I liked you instantly, Nisha.
Yeah. Well, we'll start with Still or Sparkled and Water, as we always
we
do.
Know. Gosh, I forgot about that. I forgot I was here for this.
Yeah, yeah,
How bloody exciting is that?
Forgot.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Still or sparkling water, Ed? Mm. What would you have?
No, we're not doing that.
No, it's about me. So can I tell you, honestly, I feel quite strongly about this because I don't like still water very much because... Okay. So I used to go to India a lot when I was very little, a lot. And I spent a lot of time with very, very bad diarrhea. Uh-huh. Very bad diarrhoea because I used to drink the water that came from whatever, the buckets in the village that were kept, the water was kept then in a clay pot because they thought that cooled it. But what it in fact did it just made the water evaporate down into the microbes. Uh-huh. So I literally would come back and I was often hospitalised. It was that bad.
Right.
So for me, still water smacks of that stuff that you put in drip bags in hospital. It's like interstitial fluid. It's just, it's the stuff that you would squeeze out of a dressing.
Yeah.
Wound dressing, not a dressing gown.
Oh, okay.
Both, actually. Do you know what I mean? Yes. I have no fondness for still water.
No. It's the most disgusting description of still water we've had on the podcast ever.
Yeah. It's
the worst
we've asked
ever
that
had.
Question so many times, and you start to think we've had all the answers we're going to have, but it reminds you of interstitial fluid that someone squeezed from a wound dressing.
It's a little bit like that. Do you know, like they say that a durian fruit smells like an old wound dressing?
Yes. That's
sort of the definition.
Stinky fruit.
Yeah. That's the definition. I always think of just still water as that's, you know, it's the stuff of drip bags.
Yeah.
It's the stuff you mop up, you know. It's a nursing term, I think, still. But then sparkling, you see, now the thing with sparkling, can I tell you this?
Yeah.
I am very careful about my teeth, James. I'm a very careful person when it comes to my teeth because I used to think dentists get paid. Your mum's not a dentist, Benita, is she?
No.
By the filling.
Good,
the filling.
Yeah, no, my mum does.
No, yes.
Or my dad.
No one is related to dentists as far as I'm aware.
Now I love them and I think they're fantastic. But there was a point I was raised to believe that they were paid by the filling, so you don't go to the dentist. So I'm really careful. And I hadn't had a filling till I was 35 or whatever. So really careful about my teeth. Now, have you seen the Malham granite pavements? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. Obviously not.
In Malham,
not from
north
the moment
of England,
you walked in.
Yorkshire.
Yeah.
They're called the granite, what's it called? The granite paves. Are you Googling it? Yeah. Basically, carbonic acid, that is what it does to rock.
Yes.
So pure sparkling water, in my view, just completely erodes it. You're going to end up with, Elizabeth I's teeth drinking pure sparkling water. So I find it too acidic. I just find it kind of fuses your frontal lobe to your eyebrows. You know, it's just strips your mucous membranes out. I just find it too acidic. So I like to go a half and half.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
You take the two things that you don't like and put them together.
Well, you have to be polite, don't you?
Yeah.
And I put the two. But I have to say, when I put the two things together, they're perfect. You're getting that lovely palate cleansing. You know, you get that little bit of acidity. It's just a little wake me up, but it's also hydrating. Yeah, don't drink a lot of it. You know what I mean?
So, and that is true. I've witnessed that happen.
You witnessed the half and half.
When a runner comes in and says, would you like some water, still or sparkling?
Yeah.
And Nisha says, yes, I'll have half and half, please.
I think half and half's a thing, though, isn't it? Surely people do that.
It's the first time. Maybe we've had that on the podcast. I mean, maybe someone else has said it at some point, but not as a thing they already do.
Yeah.
I think they probably maybe riffed it and gone, let's go for half of that.
No, really.
But I think you're the first person who that's your pre-existing preference.
Yeah.
Especially the first person who wants half and half, and half of the drink they want is something they refer to as something from a drip bag, and the other half is something they've seen rot away a pavement.
Yeah. This is the corner.
Things.
This is the corner that you dwell in, honestly, in this world. That's it. You're cornered. What? There's two things that you're offered. You know, they don't offer you the nice stuff, do they? Whatever that might be.
What would you prefer? This is your dream meal.
Am I doing the drinks now?
What would you normally offer at the start of the meal?
Can I talk about what I'd like by way of drinks? Because right now I'd love it. I'm going to have a slurp of my oat latte. 1 second.
Yeah. Go for it. Yep. You don't have to maintain eye contact with me while you're drinking the latte, but fair enough. Really intense eye contact there while slurping latte from a straw. Ice latte.
Really, yeah. It's coming out my nose, ice latte, now because of you, James.
Well, funnier than Ed Gamble.
Yeah, well, liquids are coming out at some point.
It really is.
At that point of the meal, when they offer you still a sparkling water, other people have selected other things, right?
Have they?
Yeah. Other people have said no water, just passed on it. When we did our dream menus, Ed and I, Ed had a Guinness at this point. I had Causton Press. So yeah.
That's a cracking drink.
People can't, yeah, it is,
that
isn't it?
That is a cracking drink.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's no added sugar to that.
Oh, I know.
You're keeping your teeth intact. Yeah. And yeah. You're giving your mouth a party.
It's only lightly sparkling.
And it's only light. There's not too much. And it's yeah. And it's lovely. Yeah. It's the taste of all those childhood sweets mm-hmm. in a drink that's going to be kind to your dentition.
Preaching to the choir. I tell you if you poured Causton Press on a block of granite, it would say thank you very much.
I think it would.
Yeah.
I think you're going to get crocuses there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dear Lord.
You'd grow a few
crocuses. Oh, heaven. Can I tell you what I love?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you know Duck Soup on in Soho?
Oh, yeah.
Still not been, but yes.
Please go, because of the drinking vinegars that they do there. Have you had the drinking vinegars?
No, I haven't.
They are so good, James. My gosh, have you been?
Toes nodding.
There's nothing like it, is there? Isn't it so clear? Why has it taken us to 2023?
Don't speak to him.
For this?
He'll edit it out.
Why has it taken us to 2023, Ed Gamble, for us to get to drinking vinegars in restaurants? Because they are so good. Do you know, there are some drinks, and you'll appreciate this being a Causton Press fan, where you drink it and you feel your... I don't know, like your cells putting their arms out and hugging whatever you've just put in your body. Do you know what I mean? You get it with some food, but with crisp drinks, there is nothing like it. And that's what these drinking vinegars are like in Duck Soup. So they're slightly, they can be fruity, they could be strawberry, they could be cherry, they could be whatever, you know, it might be. And I think it's essentially something like apple cider vinegar with some kind of a fresh fruit.
Yeah.
Or water, it could be rhubarb, whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's kombucha-based. They're not kombucha-based things. They are just drinking vinegars. So drinking vinegars is what I would love to go
that
for.
That sounds amazing, yeah.
Really, we'll have that
instead of water. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's going to... You know, because...
From Duck Soup, want the Duck Soup drinking vinegars?
Can I go with that as an opening gambit, just
absolutely.
In terms of drinks?
Yeah.
And do you get, like, a few of them? Is that how they bring them out?
No. It's not. We're not messing around here. This is not a little taster. Let's wean you into the idea of them.
Yeah.
This is served in a tumbler like a old fashioned.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? With an ice. This is a drink, and you will enjoy it. And it is so very good. I can't tell you.
Lovely.
But it's better than that whole, you know, water with the crushed ice and lemon and all
it
that.
Sounds it. I love nonsense. This. Yeah. What flavour do you want? Is there a flavour that
you
particularly
like? I like an artificial cherry flavour because you just shared your Pepsi Max cherry.
Yeah.
Maximum taste.
You want cherry flavoured drinking vinegar.
Little bit of that. Yeah. That would be smashing. Or plum. I love a plum drink.
Yeah, yeah.
You know those plum wines you get in Japanese restaurants.
Yep. Very nice.
Very nice.
Really good.
So I'll go a plum drinking vinegar if that's all right.
Plum drinking vinegar.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Duck soup.
What a way to start.
Yeah. Pop it on bread.
Oh, smoke.
Pop it on bread. Pop it on bread. Now I'm saying to say, Sindhu V told me.
Yeah.
That I've got to say papado bread and not papadomo bread.
Yeah, so stupid.
I mean, she told me that, but then Nish Kumar's mum contested this with Sindhu and was like, absolutely not. I grew up saying papadom. And then the two of them had a very long discussion. I don't know what they agreed on, but I said at the live episode that I would say it in an episode, I'd say papadom bread.
Yeah, this is the thing, that word is so ludicrous, I can't tell. It's just such a stupid word. Papadoms means nothing to me. It's just a silly word. It's like taking a bread from the subcontinent and adding the doms to it. It just is a silly word. As Sindhu would say, we say papper. So who was it? Nish's mum that said, we say papadom.
Nish's mum said, I grew up saying that. What are you talking about? And then they went off and they had a long...
She grew up in Croydon. Where did she grow up? In Croydon. Where did she grow up?
Moved to Croydon.
Birkenhead, did she? Yeah.
did you know that she moved to Croydon?
I didn't.
That's where they actually...
Yeah, they do.
You're actually joking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You couldn't make it up, could you?
But I actually don't know, because I know that Nish's dad grew up in Kerala, but I don't know Nish's mum where
she's from originally.
Yeah. But yeah.
But poppadoms, I've never heard Indians say poppadoms. But that might be my tribe of Indians. So we say papa. But that's not the reason that I would choose bread. And I will choose bread.
Oh, yeah, your microphone's pointing at your
I've taken my earrings
larynx.
Out. I've taken my earrings out.
Larynx, is that word? Is that a
do you want me to put my hair up as well, for God's sake? Is that my facial hair? Was it my facial hair on
the
sponge?
You were doing this, Nisha. You were speaking like this.
Yeah, it was into your neck.
It's going to sound like you've got one of those things for people who smoke too much. I don't see that.
Oh, no. One of the characters on South Park, does
it? Yeah.
Funny character.
Into the end there. So you don't say
papadoms. I would go bread. No, we don't say. We say papa. But the thing about papadoms.
I'm even saying that wrong.
Papa.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? There are so many. You cannot, honestly, this is what it's like to be Indian. You can never get it right because there are so many languages. There are so many whatever. But for me, that whole pop. I tell you what it is, honestly, James. So as a little Indian growing up in this country, people would shout that at you across a playground. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
As in a you know, you spent your whole time dodging stones or the word poppadom or whatever it might be. So suddenly it's not a whetter of the appetite, you know, nor are those kind of steel dubbers of doom. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those little metal canisters that smell of halitosis and horse sweat. You know what I mean?
No, no, I don't.
No.
I thought I knew what you meant.
Yeah, with the onions.
The little metal canisters.
Yeah, the chutneys. The chutneys.
The little... The thing you can
spin, you take the
little mini lazy Susan type thing.
Yes, yes.
You know, and suddenly it smells like your GP's breath. No, no,
quite like.
You know what I mean? They're lovely.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're lovely. But the thing about fresh onions, you need fresh onions. It's never as fresh as you want it to be. Mm-hmm. So I will go bread if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So papas, they're lovely. I'm sure not really that interesting because I want the chewy, stretchy bread thing that you have. So can I just tell you a little bit? So I was brought up by two Hindus. So I was brought up by a Hindu. My father was a Hindu priest.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that your food is formed, your food taste is formed, is about all that has been forbidden for the whole of your childhood. Mm-hmm. So many things are forbidden. So as Hindus, you're primarily, because my father was a priest, you're primarily completely meat-free. And it's not just that. It's the way that Indians eat. So they believe that things like garlic and onion are passion or heat-giving. And so those are forbidden. So if you become a widow in India, here's the thing. You can never again have garlic or onion or even meat or fish. Well, fish is a bit different. You can't, you shave your head. My grandmother had a head shaved. You wear white for the rest of your life. As a widow, you know, everything is about what thou shalt not do, you know. And one of the other things that we don't have is that whole baking culture. You know, we don't. So we make flatbreads on a pan, but the oven was used to store tins of stuff, you know, you put your roasting tins in the oven, you don't bake in the oven. So that whole thing about having bread and the elasticity, we don't have anything in our culture that's got that kind of slithering elasticity to it, that bounce, because meat, for instance, has got to be killed, you know, it's cooked till it's dead twice, you know, it's cooked till it's really done. You'd never have a pink chop, you'd never have scallops or squid necessarily, unless you lived in certain areas in the coastal regions, you know. So all of these things that are chewy and gelatinous and a bit elastic, I am totally drawn to. I was never allowed to have chewing gum or bubble gum. So I used to look with it, you know, like in Elf, the film. I used to honestly, I swear, look with envy at those blobs of bubble gum on the pavement.
Okay, you know, but you didn't eat them.
I didn't. I was very tempted, though.
Yeah, so I thought that was where that was going.
But James, I was really, and you know what?
Yeah.
In my memory, I felt like I did.
Yeah.
In my memory, I'm saying it now.
Yeah.
On, is this live TV?
Yes.
Yes. So I must have been about six or seven, but I was banned these things. And I remember the taste of bubblegum.
Mm.
And I think I'd seen some and I'd pulled it off like Will Ferrell and eaten it. And it was heaven. My God, it was heaven. Benito's eyes go.
So you're saying, are you saying that you did do that?
I'm saying that as a young child, I remember doing that.
Yeah.
Honestly.
no, I didn't do that, to yes, I definitely did that.
Do you know,
yes,
Ed, can I tell you what?
I think water is disgusting.
James, it's so bad. But this is why you don't forbid things to children.
Yeah.
Honestly,
sure,
this is seriously. Because nor was I ever allowed, I'm not gotten to my bread yet.
Yeah,
so shut me up in a minute, you know. But
nor
was I ever allowed to eat beef. Or anything with any beef goods, so therefore I've never had a Yorkshire pudding. Yeah. So I got to uni and then I'd have steak every single day. It's all of that. So it was whatever was forbidden me, I would go crazy with.
Right.
That's why bread is such an amazing thing, because it's that elasticity. And the bread I'd go for, if I can go for a couple, but basically I'd like a basket. I'd like Brazilian cheese bread.
Yes.
Oh my God. Do you love it?
I absolutely love it, yeah. I went to Brazil once and just, that's pretty much all I ate.
Didn't know you went to Brazil.
Yeah. Many years ago.
Are you just making that up?
No.
To get James to like you?
No. James likes me already.
He likes you already, yeah.
Well, he likes me the most he's ever going to like me.
Yeah.
We've hit the ceiling there. So, yeah, there's no point trying any harder.
I could still like you more.
The panda K-hole, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's so good.
Because you think you get a bread roll. The first time I had it, it blew my mind. You think you've got a bread roll. You tear the bread roll open.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a thin amount of bread, really, isn't it? And then it's just got the fat bit of cheese in the middle.
Panda K-hole?
Yeah.
K-hole.
Oh, I thought
I may be saying it wrong, but...
I thought what we're talking about. A panda with a big problem.
I'm going to get it on my messages because one of my friends is Brazilian and she was telling me how to say it. She did a message to me. And this is how you say it. You ready?
Pão de queijo.
Wow. You had that. I mean, just so the listener knows, there wasn't any editing done there to speed up that process.
Yeah.
They should have just brought it up immediately, friend saying that.
Yeah, and then I've gone on to, you know, how we're going to fix the bathroom mirror.
Yeah, but that's the message honestly, WhatsApp.
That's my WhatsApp messages. But you know what's interesting about it is it's tapioca or cassava flour, so there's no flour. So I don't know what you had, whether there was a cheesy mass in the middle, but it is entirely elastic, isn't it? It's unleavened.
Yeah.
The place to try it, honestly, James, try it. So in Seven Dials, there's a new little cerveceria open at, you know, ceviche.
Yeah.
So it's a Brazilian, and they do them there, these little round ones. But I remember I used to, at the age of 14, 15, that was a long time ago. I'm not being facetious, it was a long time ago, but Neil's Yard used to have these little different sort of food stalls in, and one of those had Brazilian cheese bread. And I would come down, I kid you not, we had friends in London in Crouch End. At the age of 14, I would come down for two things to London. One was to go and buy this Brazilian cheese bread that was like, it was like cheesy, bready chewing gum. Mm. Oh, God, it was heaven. So good. And the other was to go to Harrods and buy biltong, you know, biltong, dried South African beef, because it was the only place you could get those things. So, but again, it's like having a kind of dog chew. Uh-huh. It's having a beefy dog chew. So that would be my bread. But I'd also, could I also have in the bread basket, because this is important, Irish soda bread.
Yeah. Yeah.
Irish soda bread. Are you with me? It's barely bread. It's so crumbly. Yeah. It's held together by the Holy Spirit, I think. Mm-hmm. And it crumbles like communion. And the only thing that can hold it together is the masses of cold butter that you put on it.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
So, so good. And it's got that lovely milky, cuddly aroma to it. Oh, God.
Stouty flavour and,
And if it's really like a dream restaurant, the inside of a croissant.
What? Just the inside?
I know what you mean.
I absolutely know what you mean. You know.
With like, there's a crispy bit on the outside, right?
Yeah. Okay,
then there's the pillowy, stretchy bit on the inside.
Yeah. It's that yellow, buttery. So if you're lucky, you get one, you pull the end off. Do you know what a savoiatelle is? You know that? It's like an Italian pastry that looks like a lobster's tail.
Mm-hmm.
I think you pronounce it savoiatelle.
Okay.
Yeah, and they stuff it with ricotta. So you get the end of the croissant that's like that, so crispy. Crispy, but then you get that ribbon of stretchy yellow. That would be my dream if we could have a dream, bread basket. I'd have that.
Middle of a croissant.
Okay. Absolutely middle of a croissant.
And you want, the end of the croissant to cut your gums, because it's all right to cut your gums on pastry. It's not all right to cut your gums on something like sourdough. I've got no fondness for the sourdough. And I know I should. And I know I should, because I think that puts me into the sort of culinary middle classes. Uh-huh. But I ain't ever going to get there, Ed. Do you know what I mean? I'm just never going to get there. There are some, it's so weird. You know, it kind of put in my head, it's like I'm kind of that little Indian in brown corduroys, with facial hair or whatever, on a chopper bike. Do you remember those? You're too old, too young.
I do know what a chopper bike is. You've lost me with the analogy. What are you talking about?
So what I'm saying is, in terms of culinary, it's like we were there and you'd look at, the way that people were eating around you and this appreciation of things like, whatever it might be, good breads, baked goods, wines. You know, they'd have parents that were exposing the people around us to these amazing things. Uh-huh. And we were going home to Bargies and, Bell's whiskey or whatever it might be. Johnny Walker Black Label was the height of elegance for us back then. Uh-huh. So there are so many things that just are sort of unreachable for me. They're these ladders that I kind of look up, and sourdough is at the top of one.
Mm,
and I've got to get there, but I do not appreciate the bleeding gums, the broken molars, the smell of thrush that comes from them. With it.
So
it doesn't sound like
you're saying you don't want to go for the culinary middle classes, but 5 minutes ago you told a story about going to Harrods to buy biltong, right?
I know. Makes no sense.
Yeah, and it just seems that really you don't like sourdough because you don't like how it tastes or smells.
I really, the thing is,
like, it is attainable to you. You just don't really like it.
Okay, strip all of that cultural reference away. But the truth, it is just, I don't appreciate it, and I need to, because it is so good for you, and it is so good, and it's such a worthy bread.
I love this bread basket that you've got, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brazilian cheese bread, inside of a croissant, Irish soda bread.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Great.
Are you going to shout poppadoms and bread again, or is that done now?
That's done now. I've done it.
Yeah, great. Do you shout anything else?
No, I might do if you if you make me angry at any point.
How would you make you angry?
By choosing a savoury instead of a dessert at the end.
That's what to be said for a nice cheese ball, though, isn't it? Gosh, let's see where we go with this.
Yeah,
dear God,
see.
I hold on to my seat. Blimey. James.
Well, listen, I think I'm all right. I used to eat chewing gum off a railing, so
I think
you're going to choose a dessert.
Yeah, I don't even think it was a railing. I've got a horrible memory of sitting on the pavement in Skelmersdale, which is where I was raised.
I mean, it's getting more and more specific
each time you return to it.
You definitely did it.
So can I tell you, so I was telling this story to someone because it does mean a lot, because it's that whole chewing thing, you know, and how drawn I am to things like that. And they said, you must never, ever tell anyone that you did that. And here I am.
Yes.
With a microphone.
Yeah.
In front. But I was very young. I remember being very young. And then I remember thinking that is why you don't prohibit things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lesson in
it. Yeah. I hope Benito can put together just a little edit to go out on its own of the progression of this story of I didn't do it. I may have done it. I did do it. It was in this specific place. A friend told me not to tell you this.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your dream starter. Let's get into your dream menu proper.
Oh, yes. My gosh. Can I tell you my dream starter?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's a pasta course, but that's fine, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
So it's a bit of a chase of a culinary dragon for me, this. And it is pasta arrighi di mare. So it's pasta, spaghetti with sea urchins. Have you had this?
No.
No.
Haven't you?
But I've had sea urchins.
Yeah. Do you love sea urchins?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, because they can be a little bit iodine-y, can't they?
They can be a bit iodine-y, and I don't easily get creeped out by the way things look, but I'd say that's on the top end of me getting creeped out by how things look.
Yeah, I totally get that, and it is very strange. So this was about 15 years ago, and it's a very Sicilian thing, and my husband is a classical guitarist, and he's playing a concert in Sicily. so he played this concert, mm-hmm. and we went for a meal, as you often do with the organisers, and there was this pasta dish served, and it was simple. So all it is spaghetti, but a really good, not an angel hair, but a fine spaghetti. And it's sea urchins, and it's a little bit of garlic, and I think it's olive oil, and you don't mess with it much more than that. So a bit of salt. You don't then put chili flakes on or anything like that. It's really simple. But the flavour of that, I can't tell you, because it was nutty. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit nutty. It tastes of the sea, though, and it's a tiny little bit kind of, I'm not, sweet is too strong a word, but it was completely all things that you would want on the palate. It didn't, what's interesting though, it doesn't have that iodine flavour. You know, it doesn't have that slight medicinal edge that it can have, you know, sea urchin. And I have gone back, because I do this, and I'm sure you do this, but I will go back to a country just to find that food again. And very sweetly, Channel 4 sent me out to do A Taste of Italy, which is a whole programme on Italian food, which is amazing. That they chose me again. Honestly, I really do mean that. It was incredible to do that. And went searching for this Ricci Damare, and I've never tasted it as good as that again. But, I mean, do you not have a culinary dragon that you chase? Have you tasted something that you try to get again and it's never been the same?
Quite often I've found that things aren't the same just because it's not that night.
Really, you know? Do you think so?
Even in, like, the environmental factors matter so much, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything that I'm like hunting down like that.
If I go back to the exact same place, it usually doesn't let me down. But if I'm trying to find a certain dish in other, yeah, if I have it somewhere, it's incredible. And then if I ever see it on the menu, I'll do it again. It's never quite as good because it's at a different restaurant, different location or whatever. And they don't quite do it as well. And you're trying to find it as good as that.
Yeah.
I think I've had stuff like that.
Yeah. This was extraordinary. I mean, you have it again and it is amazing. And I would really, really, honestly, I'd recommend it. If you see it on a menu,
I'd really recommend it.
There's just something about the way that it moistens the spaghetti and the, you know, you kind of get there, like, you become like sort of slippery mermaid's tails. This spaghetti, it's just this immersion into everything that's nutty and sea-like. Oh my gosh, really good. But can I do an honourable mention?
Yes.
Really pleased with yourself for saying
that. I'm so thrilled. I don't think I'll be able to enunciate that as well. So an honourable mention is the green prawn ceviche at Speedboat Bar.
Yes.
That you pointed me to the other day. Yeah. So good, yeah.
That, right. I've had that really recently because, again, Ed probably has given the same recommendations to everyone, apparently.
No, you weren't there before me.
Oh, really?
You did. Tom, this
that
is a carriage.
That green prawn ceviche was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
That was my favourite thing of the night.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of good things that night. But that was, and also I was in a really lucky part of the table. There's a big group of us. And in my corner, there was some people who like just didn't like prawns, not up for them. So I was cleaning up.
That's fantastic. You do want to dine with people who don't like food very much. That's the best way of eating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. But that is a really, I think anything, and you know, raw prawns, we need to do more with raw prawns, you know, Botanebbi or whatever, these giant prawns that you get in sashimi and sushi places. There is nothing sweeter and, you know, there's nothing fishy about them. They are absolutely gems. They're gorgeous. And that's a really good treatment of them. So that's my honourable mention.
Really hot as well.
They were hot.
Spicy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But really flavorful. Your dream main course.
Can I tell you what I love? What I love.
You can tell us what you love.
I do love a Chinese hot pot.
Oh, yes. Lovely.
Do you know, I mean, just treasure trove lovely. So the restaurants that I go to for these, one London restaurant is Pang Pang. So Pang Pang is on Upper St. Martin's Lane. Mm-hmm. Please, honestly, I highly recommend it. It's really weird because you walk past it and it's kind of blue neon inside. It's kind of got a bit of blue neon going on and it's got some kind of mirrored walls. It looks a little bit oligarchical, which always puts me off.
Sure.
So go in and order the fish head hot pot and do not be put off. I am just speaking to you as though no one's listening because this will put a lot of people off food, I think, potentially. But this is truthfully heaven food-wise. Mm-hmm. So one is a fish head hot pot in Pang Pang.
Yeah. Have you been to Cafe TPT in Chinatown?
No, I haven't. Should I be going there?
Amazing hot pots.
Right.
The aubergine and pork mince hot pot.
Didn't have the hot pot but that place is great.
Yeah. Just 2 days ago I went there and got the hot pot. Delicious.
Tell me something. Are you saying that they put aubergine and mince pork in the soup itself?
Yeah. It's in the hot stone hot pot bit that they bring over.
Really? So we're talking about a big bubbling vat of soup, different flavours you can get.
Yeah, yeah.
So these are the soups, like in Hyde Low. You seen that in Leicester Square?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Been there, love it.
Yeah, so you can choose your soup base, but what's so incredible about it is it honestly is all things to all people. I mean, I'm preaching uh-huh. to the converted here, but I'm just going to... So what particularly for me I love is the fact that you can get all these... It's all of those textures... And it is, so you get things like the konjac threads, which is kind of, you know, they're sweet potato or their mung bean noodle bundles mm-hmm. that you drop into this soup and you get that really elastic, playful texture. It's like a Fisher-Price Activity Centre for the mouth. You get sweet potato noodles that have got that elasticity. You get squid tentacles, seaweed that goes in and then expands, the black fungus, all of these incredibly fresh ingredients. And then you can order the greens, so you get bundles of kind of, you know, spearhead-looking spinach and crown daisy, just greens that you don't get in a British supermarket. Mm-hmm. And what a privilege to taste yeah. these things, you know what I mean? Because I wouldn't know what to do with them, you know. So you're presented with these things, you drop them into the soup, so the soup base can be bone marrow, it can be a bone base, it can be a mushroom base, it can be whatever, a Sichuan base, but they've always got goji berries in and they've got Chinese dates in. And it's just such a luxurious addition to these soups, you know.
I love it. And just the interactive nature of it as well. And particularly the thing I like at Hyde Low, which is the minced shrimp yeah. balls that yeah. you then dip in and yeah. cook and leave it there for a bit. And then just, yeah. And I get the, like, there's a beef tallow yeah. broth,
yeah.
which almost, if you pull something out and then it goes on the table, you see it harden up again into like, it's, yeah, it's just like just full of fat.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But this is such a good choice. What's in the fish head one?
So the fish head one. So this is the thing, and I'm really, I mean, I think this is coming from the East and the Eastern cuisine. Honestly, you honour every, if you're going to eat an animal, you honour every part of the animal. Mm-hmm. So we eat the heads, you know, mm-hmm. we eat the tails. You know, you don't, there's no such thing as a hermetically sealed bit of chicken breast in an Indian fridge. It's always bone in, always. And I think it's really important. But what's so brave, God, I just think it's really brave. This is in the centre of the West End. You know, these hot pot mm-hmm. restaurants are the centre of the West End and they are completely unameliorated. They do not tone down the authenticity of their cuisine. It is what it is and it is utterly delicious, and darn right we should be learning to eat in that way. So it will be the silver carp head, and that sounds awful, doesn't it? But they serve one mm-hmm. in Fallow as well. I noticed that, you know, fish heads are becoming a thing, and good for them for doing that, because why waste it? And there's so much meat. But I think because it's so articulated, you know, because the bones in the mouth are constantly moving, the fish's mouth is constantly, the more articulation, the softer the meat.
Mm-hmm.
The tastier the meat, you know, the more work it's done. So it's not as though they just plop a head in. It's the structure of the jaw or whatever, or it's the bones. But the flesh from that fish, I have to say, honestly, is some of the best fish I've ever tasted. Please try it and let me know what you think,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, 100%.
I always text you from that place. But please go and try it. That fish head soup. Yeah. Honestly, James, you're not afraid of that kind of stuff.
I'm not afraid.
No. But do you know what the other really amazing thing is about hot pot restaurants is this? Have you ever been to the sauce bit of the side?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you go around the corner and then you go and pick your sauces, and it is like mm-hmm. discovering for the first time as a human being a piano and all the permutations and combinations of notes you can play in these various sauces that you can put together to dip your, you know, thing. Mm-hmm. So you get your pot of soup, you dip your sirloin in or whatever it might be, your mm-hmm. tentacle in, you put it out of the soup when it's done, and you dip it in the sauces that you've created. And that, I mean, if you've got a Chinese friend or in Pang Pang, for instance, he will come and he will guide you as to how to put sauces together. But it's things like chive flour sauce and, you know, fermented bean sauce and green oil. Green oil is Sichuan oil.
Mm.
So it's the oil they've steeped Sichuan peppers and green Sichuan peppers. And it's that tingling, fantastic, cleansing, amazing oil. Just flavours that are totally otherworldly.
Yeah.
It is. You know, it's like being abroad. It's extraordinary.
I'm going to go there.
Yeah. Mr. Zeng's in Liverpool. Can I tell you as well?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. So what with me being from the north, honestly, the Liverpool Chinese food scene is extraordinary. So it's the oldest Chinese community. So in terms uh-huh. of Chinatown, it's the oldest Chinatown in the UK. So Mr. Zeng's is a great place to go to for hot pot there, and Mr. Chili's. So that's a shout out to the north and these northern restaurants. Mm-hmm. But it is, again, it's that bravery and the audacity of just bringing that cuisine completely, completely unfiltered to the British audience and saying, this is how we need to mm-hmm. evolve to use all the bits of the fish.
So that's your dream main course is the fish head hot pot?
It's a hot pot, a Chinese hot pot. Ideally, I'm going to go with a fish head hot pot. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do, if that's all right.
Yes.
Lovely.
And I'm not contriving. I told my nephew about that and he said, oh, you're just trying to be cool. Honestly, I'm not. I just thought,
no,
okay.
No, but you do hot pots at home as well, right?
Yeah.
I've seen you put up on Instagram, yeah. Like you've, you know, done the whole thing for a big group of people and got all the ingredients prepared and laid out and stuff. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's so interactive. It's not just that. It's not okay for food just to be interactive. It's got to be utterly delicious.
Yeah.
And in the way that you described that thing about the chili and you went back the next day, that is how I feel about hot pot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will get the train back to Liverpool today and all I can think about, even as I'm sitting here, is that will I make it in time to go and get a hot pot in?
Great.
You know, it's totally addictive.
Your dream side dish.
So the thing about your hot pot is you're not getting any of that caramelised crunch anywhere. So I thought about this and the things that I would, I need that little bit of, I love a bit of caramelised crunch. So one thing I would say is my own roast potatoes that are a bit strange, but they're so, so good. So very often I will, what? Do you even know how I've done them?
Yes, carry on.
Okay. Do you, what?
I just remember you showed us a picture of them once and they looked burnt to fuck.
That was a burnt roast potato. Okay, that was one of the burnt roast potatoes. Do you remember that?
Yeah, very proudly you showing Tom Kerridge a picture.
I was really proud, actually. Olive oil is the thing, so you parboil them.
Yeah.
So they're very, very, very simple. And they're very, you're not doing that dance to A&E, you know, by having to shake them in hot oil and all of that. So you parboil them till they're just soft. You can shake them if you want, you know. Or whatever, to get a bit of a coating, you know, a bit of a powdered outside. I'm not really bothered about that. I want the flavour. Into a tray. And in the tray, you've got olive oil. Uh-huh. Just not extra virgin, obviously, but a good olive oil.
Yeah.
You've got a little bit of brown sugar.
Uh-huh.
You've got a little bit of salt.
Uh-huh.
A bit of garlic puree.
Yeah.
Have you switched off?
No, I'm listening.
A little bit.
James loves these bits.
Toilet board?
A tiny little bit, honestly, of turmeric.
Uh-huh.
And that's not an Indian, I'm not talking about that being going in to do any kind of Indian skewing to this dish. So what turmeric does is simply tastes of soil. It tastes of earth. So very in India, you would always put turmeric on potatoes before you cook them. You just always would. Because what it does is it deepens the earthiness of your potatoes. Mm-hmm. It deepens the potato-iness. So I recommend if you're ever going to make chips or anything like that, just rub it with turmeric before and then fry it. And it just deepens the the darkness of the flavour. It's really lovely. So a little bit of that. You mix all that together and then you toss your parboiled potatoes into it. So it's dead simple. So it goes into this cold mix and then you roast them. And you roast them until they're not black. I took pictures of that to show you how bad they were.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Until they go. So you're also going to get that lovely golden thing, but you're getting what you want from roasties is you want that kind of... you know, you want to feel like, the smell of your mother, the ultimate comfort food, isn't it? Mm-hmm. See, what I don't understand is things like adding rosemary.
Yeah.
You know, this is that business about just looking at the way that there are certain tropes that I just feel are almost performative, honestly. And I think rosemary in roasties is almost like that's what you've seen posh people do and therefore you feel like you've got to do it. But honestly, you want the smell of comfort, don't you? You don't want the skewing of resinous perfume. I just don't get it. Same on focaccia, you know, which is an amazing thing, but why the rosemary? I don't, you know, it's just, it's bitter and it's and it's perfumed and you don't want perfume.
Get lost.
Yeah, exactly, with the roasties.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know you've got James on board because he's never heard anyone suggesting putting sugar on roast potatoes.
Yeah, I thought you had me at brown sugar.
James, you know what? The thing is with roasties, because you want a little bit of that sweetness, don't you? And this is just a dead naturally quick way of doing it, you know, so you definitely, because some potatoes are going to give you a bit of that sweetness and some aren't. And isn't it so sad when you get one that isn't giving you all of those areas of the, you know, stimulation of all the areas of the tongue? You want a little bit of sweet salt. So just a tiny bit of brown sugar ensures you're going to, every mouthful, every one of those roasties is going to blow your mind. So a tiny bit of brown sugar.
What we talked about texture-wise, crunchy, fluffy.
I like a crunchy outside and I like a fluffy inside. Of course, that's what I'm meant to say. That's what I'm meant to say, isn't it?
So.
I actually don't care. As long as I actually don't really care.
No.
As long as it's kind of crunchy-ish on the outside. I mean, that's the dream, is scraping all the bits off the bottom of the tin. I get that.
Yeah.
But frankly, for me, with roasties, it's really quantity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more than anything, I like almost a tray to myself. My other side would be Yorkshire puddings because I was forbidden them all my childhood.
Now, do you know what you've walked into here? Or?
No, why? What have you done?
Oh, I've not done anything. Ed Gamble, famously on the podcast, hates Yorkshire puddings.
Rubbish.
What is wrong with you, Ed?
They're rubbish. They're boring.
green corduroy shorts you're wearing bland. And you're telling me you don't like Yorkshire puddings? How are they bland? That's what you want from a Yorkshire pudding.
Well,
you
there you go. So they are.
Yeah, no, bland. Yeah, next. But there's a place for bland, for goodness sakes. If you there's watch no place that for sketch bland. In Goodness Gracious Me, yeah, it's like a duvet in your mouth. It's a duvet onto your soul.
The, I think Yorkshire what you're going to do is you put people who like Yorkshire puddings off Yorkshire puddings now. You've just said they're bland and they're like a duvet yeah. in your mouth.
Do you know what they are? They're not bland at all. What I love about a Yorkshire pudding is they're packed with flavour.
They're not, though, are
heart-warming
they?
Heartwarming flavour. Yeah.
Nishi, your mic's in your neck again.
Can you hear me all right? No, because you're really winding me up with this whole yeah. Yorkshire pudding thing. Do you know yeah. what I mean? A little bit of you want gravy in them. Okay, you don't want the desiccated Yorkshire puddings that are sitting there and all scroty. Mm. You know, you want them moist.
They're like old pancakes.
Yeah, that's a nice thing, Ed. But Ed, you're getting the purest taste of meaty carb. Do you know what I mean? That's what a Yorkshire pudding is doing to you.
Ooh,
it's
yeah.
like the outside of a Greg's sausage roll. Mm. It's that same hit that you're getting. It's a meaty carb.
Well, I prefer that then. So if next time someone is preparing Yorkshire puddings, instead for me, I want the outside of a Greg's sausage roll.
It's the same. It's yeah. semantics. This is semantic. It's the same flavour.
But I think, are you going to go with your roasties for the side? Because this sounds delicious.
Well, do we only have one side?
Mm,
so yes. Here's what I'm going for. Can I just give some honourable junctions with this as well?
Yeah.
Another junction. That's the one it lasted. Yes.
Another honourable junction. Coles. Can I do this?
Yes.
Coles, honestly, because I'm thinking.
Do it with the microphone towards you?
Yes. Coles pistachio guacamole. Have you had that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Coles, K-O-L, Mexican restaurant.
Oh, yes, of course.
In London.
Yeah,
you know London. Yeah. Amazing. Have you had that?
I'm not sure I've had that. I've not been there for a while, so I don't think I've had the pistachio guacamole.
Is that because you can't get in? So is that my size? Am I only allowed that many sides?
What are you pitching?
20 KFC hot wings. Is that not okay?
What?
20 KFC.
Hang on. So you, roast potatoes.
Yeah.
Your roast potatoes, Yorkshire puddings, pistachio guacamole from Coles, and 20 KFC hot wings.
Yeah, because you want the crunch.
I think.
Well, yeah, well, you said you want the crunch at the top, but that's.
Can yeah. we allow two of those? Will we?
Let's hear about the hot wings first.
So the hot wings, there are two types of hot wing.
Uh huh.
There's the radius and ulna. Do you know the two little thin bones?
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's the humerus.
Yeah.
The big drumsticky one.
The flat or the drum?
I'm going to go with the drum.
Yeah.
So I'd like, ideally, if you can get to the bag quick enough, you can get all the drumsticks out, yeah. you know, the drumstick wings. 20 KFC hot wings, please.
Why KFC?
Because it's so good. Because you can drive through. You don't even have to do eye contact with anyone. You don't have to put your clothes on. You can drive through.
I should tell you that you do. And anyone listening, you do have to put your clothes
put
on.
Your clothes on
KFC.
Put your clothes on them. You don't have to do the eye contact. You just go in and you get them through a window into your car, James, like that, onto the front seat. Yep. You can eat them while you're driving. But they're also
very James,
good.
James was asking why you like them, like taste-wise, yeah, rather than he didn't want to have it explained to him what a drive-thru is.
I know what a goddamn drive-thru is, but I was wondering why they are your favourite hot wings.
Because they are delicious.
What makes them?
Because they have got exactly the right amount of seasoning. They've got the right amount of heat.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just that really clear. Honestly, there are very few places on earth where you get that balance of heat just right, where it's just a little bit of background warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, just enough stimulation, but not hot. You're not scared of rubbing your eyes after eating a KFC hot wing.
Spice level wise, would you serve those in Mowgli? Or would that get rid of the kids and the animals?
No. That keema's a little bit hotter than that.
So you're right. Because
it's a funny thing, isn't it? Because it's almost like that white pepper heat, I feel. It's not a chili heat, which is more front of the mouth aggressive. This is a kinder heat. This is a more bring you into the realms of heat kind of heat.
A warming
heat. But they're just brilliant. Honestly, the crunch on them, the flavour of that batter, you can get them at any time, anywhere. That is an amazing thing. I live in Birkenhead. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean by you live in Birkenhead. But,
so, you know, in the way that I often listen to you two and you talk about Deliveroo, delivering these extraordinary things to your doorstep, I can get Domino's and that's it where I live. So the KFC hot wing or the KFC is a beacon of hope to me. Mm-hmm. You know, my palate needs things like this and I know I can drive through at any time. And that's sanity. So they matter a lot to me. Have I got to just pick, or are you picking two of these for me, Al?
Well, I don't know. It's a discussion, I guess, because I would say you seem more passionate about the KFC hot wings and the roast potatoes, whereas the pistachio guacamole and the Yorkshire puddings seem to like, but maybe they don't ignite the same fire.
Do you know, I think you're absolutely right there, James.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right there. It's the roast puddings and the KFC hot wings, I think.
Well, hold on. The roast puddings?
Roast
Did
potatoes.
I say roast potatoes?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, roast potatoes, yeah.
Sorry. It's the roast potatoes and it's the KFC hot
wings. I thought you were sneakily getting a third option in there. If I say roast puddings, I can have both of those.
I do love a
Yorkshire
pudding.
It's the roast puddings and it's the guacamole hot wings.
Yeah. Dream drink.
Oh, God, right.
Guess what I order at Mowgli to drink each time I go in there.
I can tell you what you drink.
You can tell me?
You don't get a beer there. Do you get one of the cocktails?
Yeah.
Okay, is it a mocktail?
Yeah.
Is it a chauffeur's cocktail? Do you get the Twister?
No.
Do you get the sweet deli?
No.
Do you get the chai rum sling?
No.
Give me the colour.
Brownie, orangey.
Oh, you get the chai. Oh, you get the cola, the cinnamon cola.
You get the cinnamon cola.
Yeah, that's a really good drink. I'm so glad you've even been. I honestly wasn't expecting you to have been, honestly.
It's a popular chain. You know that a lot of people like it. You've done really well.
My mum did for a while. I did, Nancy. You just keep your head down and do not presume. That is really nice that you've been there. So can I tell you my drink?
Mm-hmm.
So you get the cinnamon cola.
Yes.
You notice that I've not done any Indian food or any Mowgli food. This is not about this. This is about me disinhibitedly telling you what I like.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember Belgo's many years ago?
No.
No. Okay. I like a banana beer. Do you know, if I'm going to have to do alcohol...
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
Okay. Can I tell you my drink that I would have that's not alcohol?
Yes.
Do you know Sujiri? This is a shout out to Sujiri. T-S, probably U-J-I-R-I, Sujiri. Japanese... kind of matcha drinky kind of place. There's one in Dessert Alley in Chinatown.
It's fantastic. Uh-huh.
Cannot recommend it highly enough. I'm so glad you
picked that. You can, with the ice cream, you can pick the strength of the matcha.
God, it's
how
so
much
good.
Matcha you want in it. It's good. Yeah. I go big.
Yeah, they're phenomenal. But what I love about them is that they also saw fit to open in Liverpool. That means, honestly, it means a lot to me when brands that do well in London choose to go, you know, to... rather than just staying in London, take their outfits up to the north.
Yeah.
It's a really big deal. So they've opened in Liverpool, but they do this thing called a Kinako Kurumitsu latte. And Kinako Kurumitsu is basically date molasses and roasted ground soybeans.
Yes.
It's so good. It's one of those drinks that you drink. I know it's like a milkshake. Okay, so I have it with oat latte because it's... Mm-hmm. Oh, James, it is so... because it's a little bit umami, it's a little bit salt. I'm not going to go so far as to say salt, but it's that roundness from the soybeans, the depth of sweetness from the date molasses, you know, and then it's toned down and it comes, you know, it's banded in colour when it's first made because of the different weights of the different liquids within it. It's a beautiful...
it sounds amazing.
Beautiful thing. It's just one of those drinks that goes into your body and your body again puts its arms around it because it's so phenomenal.
Well, we love Kinnico anyway because of Shack for You.
Yeah.
Best dessert in London. Kinnico French toast.
I need to go,
matcha soft serve.
I need to go and try that, yeah?
It's pretty special. But I need to try this. I need to try this drink.
Yeah,
this drink sounds great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Honestly, highly, highly recommend
it. And this is your dream drink?
This is a dream drink, but I do, is this just for this course?
Actually, so here's another loophole that some people, including ourselves, have employed, is that if you want to... you can assign a different drink to each course and get a bunch of different drinks.
So can I do this? Because I really do love...
sorry, Ben.
But I do love a banana beer.
Yes.
So Trappist white beer. And I'm not a big drinker. So my parents were big drinkers.
Mm.
And so in the way that I wasn't allowed beef when I was 8, I was probably allowed Midori, Baileys and Fags.
Okay. Yeah.
I had my... but honestly, there was no... You could... because they drank a lot.
Yeah.
And so I think because I grew up with alcohol, I got to the point where I was like, actually, I'm really not bothered about it anymore. You know, why do it? And I think as a child protection barrister, honestly, you see, see the damage it does. So I just think I've got an addictive personality when it comes to food. I probably would be off my face all the time if I was into drink as well. So I don't. But one of my Achilles heels and one of those things that if I saw it on a menu, you'd have to order it and I couldn't stop drinking would are those Trappist banana beers. So they used to do them in Belgo, and it's just, it's a kind of soft, soapy beer. It's a really good white beer, you know, so it's a really good Belgian white beer, which is just gorgeous anyway. And then it's got that banana flavour to it.
Does it actually taste like proper banana?
It does taste a bit of proper banana. It tastes, so I have a very unrefined palate when it comes to alcohol. I would like to further refine my palate when it comes to, well, I'm not going to try too hard, to be honest, because it gets you hammered. But this is not just like a banana flavored beer. This is whatever brewed with fruit in the way that they do. Mm-hmm. Got it. So if you like bananas, it's love and I bananas. Love bananas.
Yeah. Is it quite a strong beer?
I think it's it's about 4.8.
Okay, so not like some of those strong? Belgian beers are like 10-12% or something. They go mad for it.
So for me, that's strong. So for me, one of those and I'd be completely gone. But it's not a super strong. It's not about the strength of it, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it's about that fine brew that it is. Really delicious. Mm-hmm. So that's something perhaps I would have that with my dessert cheese.
Uh-huh. The what the fuck?
I know. Have that to sweeten the bitter pill at the end of the day.
I swear to high Christ. So we are moving on to the dessert now. Now, look, I hope you've just been winding me up for a laugh. You've mentioned enough sweet things along the way.
Yeah, banana beer, that latte's probably got a bit of sweetness to it.
For my dessert, so I honestly don't have a sweet tooth. It's awful, and I'm looking you straight in the eye when I say that. I really don't have a sweet tooth. I have a bit of an intolerance to chocolate, to cocoa. So I think because I've not been able to have much chocolate all my life, it kind of weans you off sweet. Okay, I'm not going...
This is your mate that we bought on. got her on because she's your mate.
It's complimentary, though. It's because Ed has and I haven't. It works quite well. But do you know what? I'm not going to go cheese board just because of his little face. Just because of his little face.
You shouldn't have let him... He's absolutely done you there, Nisha.
Does anyone dare go cheese board with your face across
them?
Some
absolute pricks.
Not for a while. So you're not going cheese board.
I'm going to go... Okay. Have you been to Hefore, Japanese souffle pancakes? Have you had those? Have you had those?
No. I had some in Tokyo, place in Tokyo.
Okay. There is a place, and it's a kind of hole in the wall on Shaftesbury Avenue, and it's called Hefore, H-E-F-A-U-R-E. Hefore. Anyway, Japanese souffle pancakes. So they're a pancake, but they're extremely risen. They're such a big thing in Japan that, you know, those kind of cuddly toys, they make cuddly toys of them. They're so beautiful. Wow. And onto them, they put things like, so there'll be five flavors. Mm-hmm. And the one that I like is the Biscoff one. Okay. So it's a Biscoff sauce with Biscoff biscuits, but you can have those little tapioca balls on as well, which is delicious. But these are so whipped, James, so they're a pancake. They're not overly sweet. You can imagine the kind of American pancakes. I don't like those. I like a crepe. Mm-hmm. They make them by hand in the cellar, and you will see one of the chefs just beating the hell out of this batter, like the magic porridge pot kind of thing, just beating for ages. Yeah. There's no hurry in this. There's always a queue outside this place, which is where the pickpockets circle, but you will run the gauntlet of losing your iPhone for these pancakes. So they then cook them on a griddle and they rise really high, but they are so angelically aerated inside, I can't tell you. So they're real souffle pancakes, but then you've got the heft and the creamy saltiness of the Biscoff sauce on top and the Biscoff biscuits or whatever. They do them with strawberries. They do them in matcha. There's only a limited flavour. There are many places that have started to do that, actually, in Chinatown or around Soho and around the West End. But I have to say, of all of them, it's Hefore, I think, that is the best. And it is that, again, it's that uncompromising. I'm going to take my time whipping this. You can see her making the batter with real ingredients, whatever, eggs, milk, whatever they put in it, and whipping it in the cellar and then bringing it up. That really artisanal way of doing it. But queues and queues outside. So very often, I think, if you go in there, there are these people called bloggers. Bloggers. Are you a blogger?
I'm not a blogger, no.
You see these
How
bloggers.
Long have you been on
Ed? I don't really know not what one is. Not a blogger.
It might mean vlogger.
You're
actually
a stand-up comedian, aren't you?
Yes.
There's a lot that's happened. I mean, that was a lovely description of the food, by the way, Nisha. It sounded absolutely delicious. There's a whole bunch of things that, we would normally pick someone up on, but we just let you run with it. But I don't know what the magic porridge pot is.
I heard you make a sound when Nisha said magic porridge pot.
Well, what? Instantly moved on to there being pickpockets around, which I don't know how many pickpockets there are in London these days. Maybe in old times, in Oliver times.
No, that is still a thing.
That is still a thing. Do you know what's crazy? It's that spot, honestly, James, that spot on Shaftesbury Avenue is so bad for it. Right, so when you're queuing in the therapy queue, people will come up and tell you to just watch your phone. It's in the centre of town, the West End. Yeah.
What's Magic Porridge Pot?
Magic Porridge Pot is an old, it's a children's story. It's one of those old ladybird books. Does anybody around this table know?
I don't remember Magic Porridge
Pot. Don't
you?
And she has a magic pot, and it makes an infinite amount of porridge.
Uh-huh.
And she says, cook, little pot, cook, and it'll start to create this beautiful porridge that overflows, and in the end it drowned the whole village. And then James, to the pot, stop, little pot, stop. Yeah. And it's only then that it stopped. But it was one of those ladybird books with these beautiful... Are you totally going to edit this out?
No. Honestly, this is going to be...
Oh, God, no.
This will be the video clip. This is absolutely going to be the video clip that Ben puts out.
But, it's okay, can I tell you, any of your viewers, or whatever you call them, your audience, over the age of 40, it's going to mean something to them.
Everyone knows what that means.
Everyone knows what that means.
Pot.
The magic porridge pot. It is the magic porridge pot. Is a very famous children's story, and it's that. Yeah,
the lady is making the pancakes. It's like the magic porridge pot.
Do you know? It is a little bit, Ed, because it's that. So there is an image.
Yeah,
there is an image in the book, and she's beating. You know, there are those iconic images in children's books, like Hans Gruber, whatever. And she's got this big, beautiful pot, and she's beating this beautiful porridge.
Yeah.
And it's that set. Anyway, it evoked that in me.
Yeah.
But forget that.
But she's not. She's not overflowing and drowning the whole Shaftesbury Avenue.
No, she's not.
Take the pickpockets out.
Yeah.
But then it does. Then it does overflow, and even that looks delicious. Even that looks delicious.
Yeah.
And can I get an ice cream side?
Yeah,
can I just do one Humble Johnson?
Yeah.
And that is going to be the tahini and date molasses ice cream from Honey & Co.
Oh, yeah.
Highly recommend it if you haven't had that.
So I love that we had the build-up of... I don't have a sweet tooth, and you've gone for pancakes with Biscoffs on top and date molasses ice cream.
Yeah,
because you see, that's the thing, is they're almost
savoury.
I knew
you were tricking me.
No.
You were just tricking. You were never even considering a cheese board.
Can I tell you, honestly, I haven't got a sweet tooth, and what I was really toying with, but I didn't think you'd allow it, was, you know, the Little Chef? Do you remember the pineapple with the gammon underneath it? That is actually what I would have loved for my dessert.
What?
Oh, Naisha, I wish you'd put gammon and pineapple.
I tell you something,
dessert.
Honestly... Gammon and pineapple. That is my idea of a heavenly dessert.
A dessert?
You get a lovely bit of pineapple. You can butter it, but you grill it. Lovely. Then you put a lovely grilled gammon steak on top.
Yeah.
Flip it over.
For no reason.
That is a good dessert.
Yeah, why don't you just take the pineapple out and put it straight on top of the gammon?
Yeah. Why don't you just take the gammon out and put it straight in the bin? Because this is a dessert.
I wish you'd put gammon and pineapple.
So good, though.
But what
are you crazy?
You can get things like bacon and maple scones for dessert.
Listen, I like meat and pineapple together. I'm record on this podcast saying that I like it.
Yeah,
but it's not a pudding. It's not a dessert.
I agree with you. It's not technically a dessert.
Well, it's not even technically doesn't come into it.
Emotionally, it can take you to dessert land.
No, it can't.
Yes, it can, because it's sweet.
No.
And it's salty. And it's only as much as a Biscoff anything, or a miso and tahini anything. You know what I mean? Date molasses and tahini.
What do you mean as much?
It's that savoury sweet play.
No, it's not.
Are you putting that in your starters?
You know that's not true. Don't even lie.
It is, because
it's
the sweetness,
meaty.
The sweetness
it's
from the pineapple meaty. And the saltiness from the gammon.
Meat is not a dessert.
The meat... That's incidental.
No, it's not.
You're just talking textures now.
I'm talking the main bulk of the dessert that you've just chosen.
Those are just words.
It's a gammon steak.
Well, I think luckily Nisha's chosen Biscoff Japanese pancakes and tahini and date molasses
ice cream. Let's go with that, because it's going to get you less anxious about it.
Do you want a little ramekin of gammon and pineapple on the side?
I'd like a small side plate of that.
Yeah.
Just a side plate of a little bit of pineapple and gammon. It's a rare thing. You don't see it in places, James, anymore. And that's why I just think it's something that you celebrate. And I couldn't put it in my starters.
Celebrate is it's not in places anymore. I'm glad they've made that decision. I hope the Little Chef goes bankrupt.
I'm pretty sure it has.
Well. Oh, yeah, good. I'm glad it has.
The Little Chef grew up.
If they're serving those as desserts there.
They're not.
That is not a dessert. I'll let you have it as a little side on your dessert.
I'll have a little side on the
but
dessert,
I
yeah.
hope that while you're eating it, all the pickpockets have absolutely rinsed you. I hope they take everything from you while you're eating that.
That's done.
Disgusting. I'm going to read your menu back to you now. See how you feel about it. Water. You would like the plum flavour drinking vinegar. Pop it on some bread. You want a bread basket of Panda de K-hole. Irish soda bread and the inside of a croissant. Starter, spaghetti, arrici de mer.
Nicely done.
Main, fish head hot pot from Pang Pang. Side dish, your own roast potatoes and 20 KFC hot wings. Drink, Kanako Kurumitsu latte. Dessert, Japanese souffle, pancakes Biscoff from Hefure, and a Trappist banana beer to be happy with the dessert.
Yeah.
And I will let you have with the dessert the side of gammon and pineapple. I'm not happy about it, but I feel like you clearly, you did use the phrase, it would be your dream. And if I don't let you have that, then that's bad form. So I will let you have that as the side, but not happy about it at all.
This is all about breaking down those old structures, and you've done that beautifully by allowing me that.
Thank you very much, Nisha. You happy with your menu?
That's my dream menu.
Yeah,
that's my dream menu.
Well, I love it. There's at least three things that I've got to go and try now.
Yes,
so.
I think this is going to be a big recommendation fest for a lot of people. I think a lot of people are going to be taking those recommendations.
Yeah,
it's a rallying call for the hot pot. If it's a rallying call for the hot pot, then job done.
Thank you.
Well, there we are, James. Always love to be here with you when you properly meet someone for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Love, Nisha.
Yeah.
Brilliant talking about food.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Really knows her stuff. Loves food. Huge Super. Passion for it.
Yes.
Obviously, we love her restaurants.
Yeah.
And then also is just goes off on one quite a lot.
Yeah.
I loved it. I love Nisha. That was brilliant.
Thank you, Nisha, for coming on. And thank you for not saying the secret ingredient. Thank you for not saying kangaroo meat. Meant that we got to continue talking in the Dream Restaurant. Hear your full menu.
Yes. Do go and get Nisha's new book, Bold. And why not go and grab 30-Minute Mowgli and Meat-Free Mowgli as well. And if you're near a Mowgli restaurant, chances are you might be, because they're all over the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Do pop in to one of those as well.
Bombs away.
Bombs away. James, thank you for a wonderful episode.
Hey, thank you, Ed. A real pleasure. Thank you for bringing one of your friends in. I look forward to the Big Chris episode.
Of course. Thank you for bringing one of your friends in, Paul Rudd.
We've got different friends.
Thank you, Benito, for a wonderful episode.
Yeah, thank you, Benito. Good job. It's a good job, man.
Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.